Welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined in the studio with my brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What's up, Patrick?
Dan, did you know that Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network?
Wow, I didn't know that.
That is absolutely true.
Amazing.
And Dan, today we are recording the most amazing Catholic school teacher I've ever come across. His name is Ryan Maley.
Wow.
And his story is going to blow you away. We're talking Book of Acts, the gospel being incarnated in a Catholic school.
Woo,
but Dan, before we get started, can you lead us in prayer?
Yes, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ, we pray for a new evangelization, a new springtime, a new Pentecost upon the church, Lord. We want your Spirit to pour forth upon us, Lord. We want to see signs and wonders, miracles happening here on earth, Lord. We want to be living in the Acts of the Apostles, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with everything, every good gift that you want to give to your children, Lord. We are hungry for more of you. Lord, teach us. Teach us more. Teach us how to share the gospel in life-changing ways. Lord, I pray for the renewal of Catholic schools across America, the renewal of Catholic education, that young people would fall deeply in love with you.
And Father, I just pray that our message and our proclamation would not just be with words, but would be with a demonstration. Father, I pray that you raise up a faith in the life of Catholic Christians that can proclaim the kingdom of God and know that God wants to demonstrate and back up his word with accompanying signs, just like Jesus. And we pray this in his holy name.
Amen.
Oh, I'm just so happy to be here. I'm so excited for Ryan. Dan, we're going to talk about... We talk a lot about the power of God,
yes.
Not just because like this is our thing, but it's actually Christ's thing. This is what the gospel, it's an essential part of the gospel. It's not enough just to proclaim the message of the gospel. Hey, Jesus loves you. Have a great day. Hey, God is good. See you later.
Mm.
It's like, hey, guess what? Jesus loves you so much, and he actually wants to show you how much he loves you. Have you ever experienced the love of God in your life? And I don't know, how many people do we meet that have not encountered the love of God in their life?
Yeah, I think over and over and over again, we see that, right? Where people learn a lot about Jesus, but they don't experience his presence in their life, and they want to know who he is. And it's like, it's amazing that we can educate and educate and educate and fill our minds with knowledge of Jesus, but then we don't fill our hearts with an experience of who he is.
We need to get out of analysis and into romance. Am I right?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you just think about it. I mean, everyone, we're people who we learn through experience. And so we don't learn just from knowledge. The way the knowledge is planted into our lives is through experiencing and encountering that reality. And so how do we best learn about who Jesus is? Through encountering him.
What's the name of the show, Dan?
Encounter.
Do you know that in John 17, Jesus is talking about the glory of God? He's like, Father, I pray that they know your glory. Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you know what that the Greek word for know, like that you would know this? It's the word gnosko.
Mm.
And gnosko is actually a definition, a translation of that is experiential knowledge, that which is actually experience, that you know it like you taste it. So actually, Jesus wants us to know him like we taste and see things. That's the kind of knowledge that he wants us to have. And so I think that's good news.
What's that look like in our like modern world, Patrick?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I could talk about it all the time, but I want to know, what does it look like in the context of a Catholic school?
Wow.
That's what we talk about. So like, yeah, what does it look like on the street? I can talk about it. What does it look like in my family? I can talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the biggest blocks that we have is, what does this look like in an institutional format where we have catechesis that has been largely been happening outside of Encounter? That there's this, we teach people, we've been teaching people that the doctrines, the tenets, the dogmas, but they don't have an experience of the person that we're talking about. And when that happens, you have this divide between our head knowledge and our heart, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think for years in the Catholic Church, I think the burden that we're starting to expose and to heal is we've got this catechetical process where we sacramentalize kids and we educate young people, but we're not giving them the experience, right? It's almost like we're sacramentalizing, we're not evangelizing. And we need to know the information, we need to know the dogmas, but they don't mean anything until you've had the experience and you've encountered Jesus Christ in a life-changing way. That we're not giving you facts, we're introducing you to a person who wants to give you a new life.
And I think it just goes back to the beginning. Like when Jesus released that proclamation, go, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, right? Not just individuals in nations, but disciples of actual nations, okay? What was going on is that Paul, when he brought the gospel to, you know, Corinth or Ephesus or Galatia, there was something that happened. He actually demonstrated and brought them to encounter the truth that he was proclaiming. And I'm going to read this actually. This is St. Paul. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 4. He's kind of giving his formula for how they came to faith.
Nice.
And if that's how Paul did it, I feel like that's what we need to have insight into. He said, verse 4, my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest upon human wisdom, but upon the power of God. I'm going to key in right there. It wasn't with a persuasive words of wisdom. I didn't persuade you, okay? A lot of times they feel like we're so intellectual and we have such a great love of reason that we think we can persuade people to come to faith. But he said, I didn't come with persuasion, but with a demonstration of spirit and power. I demonstrated what I was talking about, and the form that took was spirit and power. And it was that spirit and power that convicted you. Dan, do you know in John 16, Jesus is saying, it's better that I go. Because if I don't go, you won't receive the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll do three things. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Okay, and then, you know, I feel like, what does that mean? He actually went on to say what that means. He said, regarding sin, because they do not believe. Regarding righteousness, because I'm going to the Father. Regarding judgment, because the ruler of the world has been judged. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. What's that? Unbelief, that they don't believe in me. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit is hungry to demonstrate and convict belief in Jesus. That's the first thing he does. He brings us out of doubt and unbelief and into faith. And I feel, then that's what Paul's saying. That's what I did. I just persuaded, I demonstrated with spirit and power. The Holy Spirit convicts you, and then he demonstrates that power with signs, wonders, and miracles, so that your faith might not rest upon human wisdom. And I feel like what we're doing when we sacramentalize without bringing people into encounter, we're allowing what he said to happen, that it's just rested on human wisdom, whatever the author of my religion textbook said,
yeah.
Right? But it's not supposed to rest upon human wisdom, but upon the power of God.
Wow, that's so
good.
Well,
does that look like? What does it look like? I can talk about this all day.
Well, yeah.
But I want to know, how is this incarnate?
Well, we're going to be talking to Ryan, and he's a Catholic school teacher at a Catholic high school, right?
Yeah, Alter High School in Dayton, Ohio.
Awesome, awesome. And so what does that look like in a practically in a Catholic school setting? I think, Patrick, it's all about what's our message, right? Like, you've got all these young people coming into a place, an institution of the church that is meant to form missionary disciples, right? That's the goal of a Catholic education, to form missionary disciples. And so what's our message? Is it, here's your textbook, learn these facts, take this test? Or is it like St. Paul says, hey, behold, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. What Jesus Christ wants to provide all of our students in Catholic education is a life-changing encounter with him, where I become a new creation and I'm no longer me. I am now a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives
in within me. Yep.
The power that Jesus Christ brings, the power of the Holy Spirit, is a life-changing power that sanctifies me, heals me, restores me, and then sends me forth on mission, right? That I'm no longer a passive student that just sits in a classroom learning facts and proving that I know the facts by taking a test. I am a person who has been renewed in Jesus Christ, and I am living in the power of the Holy Spirit by evangelizing. And you see this so much, right? That young people grasp the gospel so much more when you call them to mission, mm-hmm. when you let them know, hey, Jesus Christ wants to transform your life, and he wants to transform everyone else's life around you. And what that does is it the brokenness inside of them is healed, and then they want to go out and heal the brokenness inside of others. And imagine if our Catholic schools, if instead of doing a lot of like community building events, we actually just healed each other, right? Like if we strive to bring blessing to one another by praying over each other and loving each other and restoring each other.
That's right. I mean, it kind of goes back to what does it mean to be Catholic? And I feel like if I were to ask, you know, and I actually have this conversation a lot with other people in ministry, it's like, the obvious things, you know, maybe the tenets of the church. I go to Mass, I go to confession, I believe in the Eucharist, I believe in the sacraments, family is really important and all these things. And we describe attributes, but actually, what does a normal Christian look like? What defines normal Catholic Christianity?
Jesus.
It's Jesus.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes we're tempted to be like, oh, I'm kind of a more of a Ignatian spirituality guy. So I really like Ignatius to me is the model, you know, or like, oh, I'm a Franciscan. So I like St. Francis or St. Bonaventure. Good for you. Or, you know, I'm more of a Carmelite. I like St. John of the Cross and, you know, St. Teresa of Avila. But those, they're not Jesus. They help us, insofar as they help us get to Jesus, they are awesome. But if we make them, if we make them what we want to be, then we're falling short. That the actual measure of the authentic Catholic Christian life is Jesus Christ. And do you know what Christian means, Dan? Like, what does that actually mean?
It means anointed one.
Yeah, it means little Christ.
Yep.
Another Christ, alter Christus. That's what we're meant to be.
That's what we're meant to be. And what's amazing is that going back to the idea of education, right? What are we striving to do? Are we introducing people to this reality that Jesus Christ wants to transform you so that you are like him, that you are another Christ, that he's the anointed one. He is the Christos and you are anointed.
Yeah.
That you share in the anointing of the Son of God, and that as sons and daughters of God, you're anointed and you live an anointed life.
And here's one of the cool things that, you know, with our ministry school and everything that we teach people is like asking the question, you know, Dan, why could Jesus heal the sick?
Why can Jesus heal the sick? Because he was the Son of God.
Yeah. Dan, who are you?
I'm a son of God.
Whoa! So Jesus healed out of his identity, all right, because he's the Son of God. Who are you? Who did Jesus make you through baptism? Son of God.
Amen.
And therefore, you have that ability to release God's power for healing, to set captives free, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim a year acceptable for the Lord in people's lives. It comes back to our identity. What would a Catholic school look like that was actually raising up people, not just to proclaim the gospel, but to demonstrate the gospel? Would healings and miracles become common?
Yes.
Okay. If that scares you, listeners, just let that be a test right now. Are you scared about the miraculous invading our institutions? What is a normal Catholic life supposed to look like? What is a normal Catholic school supposed to look like?
Hey, man, what if, could you, I just love, okay, so we've got all of these Catholic schools all over America, right? And we've from kindergarten all the way through college, and we're looking at how do we bring about a renewal in the world? How could we transform the world radically quickly? Education, right?
Education.
Catholic education that is Catholic evangelization. When we not only educate, but we evangelize and we bring the power of God into our Catholic schools, we would transform the world immediately.
Doubt and unbelief would have to fly away or go to hell.
Yeah. Patrick, have you ever met someone who said, oh, yeah, I used to be Catholic. I went to Catholic schools my whole life.
All the time, like literally. 90% of the people that I evangelize, that's their story.
Exactly. We are losing so many young people, and it's not because we're failing to educate them. And we're not saying we should not educate in the faith, right?
We're not saying that
we're not saying that.
Okay.
We're asking for the both and. We want to educate, but that education bears more fruit when we evangelize. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. We spend so much time sowing the seed, and we're throwing it out and throwing it out and throwing it out on rocky ground, or the seed grows and then the thorns choke it out, right? But when we evangelize, what we do is we get that soil nice and fertile, ready for the word of God. And when your heart is truly awakened to the presence of Jesus Christ, then the word of God, that education, bears great fruit.
We're about to go to a break, Dan. But when we come back, we're gonna hear from Ryan, and I want our listeners to hear about a little bit about Ryan's background, the freedom he found from anxiety, crippling, legit. A diagnosed anxiety, the freedom he found from that, and then the empowerment that he received to teach and to demonstrate the gospel in his class and the revival that's happening at Altar Catholic High School. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio and co-produced with EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And when we come back from this break, you're going to hear from Ryan Maley. Stay tuned.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
Why do I have to go to confession?
Whoa, when are you going to take all that garbage out?
I don't have to.
But
I don't want to go tell the garbage man about this. He's not a fiery furnace to burn away all my garbage. He's just a man.
If we let the garbage of sin build up in our souls, life gets pretty disgusting. So it's good that Christ told his apostles, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." That way, Christ's forgiveness of sins won for us on Calvary comes to us even today through the successors of the apostles, Catholic priests. So when we go to confession, we gain the gift of humility by having to speak our sins aloud. Then we receive counsel, and finally, through the mercy of God, we hear the priest say the words that Christ has given him to speak in his name. "I absolve you from your sins. Go in peace." And that is pretty cool. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'll never forget a conversation I had with a guy at a pub. He learned that I did ministry, so he pushed the conversation from faith to politics to abortion. It took a sad turn when he said, "I think my mom should have aborted me." Hearing that changed how I think about the abortion debate forever. How can you convince someone who doesn't think his own life has value that he should care about the life of a fetus? You can't. Abortion won't become illegal until it becomes unthinkable, and it won't become unthinkable until we remember the value of human life again. That's why being pro-life isn't some isolated political cause, and it isn't about being against a woman's rights. It's about being for a society based on the idea that every life deserves to be welcomed because every life is beautiful. That's why for this and every issue, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only answer in the end. That's why we learn that every life is of infinite worth because God found every person worth dying for. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. Encounter is a production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And we have on the show with us Mr. Ryan Maley, teacher of theology at Altar High School. Give it up for Ryan.
Woo! Yeah, Ryan! Welcome to the show, bro.
So good to be with you guys. So good to be with you guys.
Awesome, Ryan. I want you to share with the listeners your story. Like, can you share what kind of background do you have? Are you a cradle Catholic? Give us the faith background.
Yeah, sure thing. Cradle Catholic. Went to Catholic school my entire life. Admittedly, probably when I graduated from high school, I would have been voted like least likely to teach theology someday. kind of going in high school a bad way. Especially towards then, I get arrested for underage drinking. I'm just not like in a good space in my life. What happened was this: I go to college, I meet a girl, right? That's kind of how the story starts. You know, you meet a girl.
Yep.
it's a love story.
Dun,
and
dun,
I'm
just
totally blown away by this girl. The first time that we hung out, Patrick, the questions that she asked me, I'm asking questions like, "Oh, what type of music do you listen to? Where are you from?" And she says, "Are you a Christian?" And I say,
she's getting right to the point.
yeah. Nobody had ever asked me my entire life, like, "Are you a Christian?"
Wow.
And I said, like, "Yeah, I'm a Catholic," thinking that answer would impress her. She's not Catholic. It did not impress her, and she began to ask me different questions about what it is that I believed and why. I my answers were extraordinarily poor. I didn't know what I believed. She's asking me why I pray to Mary and statues. I don't even pray to God.
So you went to Catholic schools your whole life, but you didn't know the answers.
Absolutely. I've been to Catholic school my entire life, catechized, and I remember feeling this sense of disappointment that I should know this, and I don't. Why don't I? I've been doing this for 13 years, Catholicism, doing church, doing Catholicism, and I don't know the answers, and I don't know what I'm doing. We hang out like one night, the one night that I kind of mustered up the courage to tell her that I like her. Turns out the feelings are mutual. Not wanting the moment to end, we decide, okay, let's go. We went to this place on campus called the Tundra, you know, Ohio Northern University, God's country. The stars were out, and so we decided to do just that, just to watch the stars. So we lay down there on the sidewalk, and we're talking. And this girl, she was in love. That was the difference. She was in love. I went to Catholic school, and I went to Mass, mostly because I was afraid that Jesus was taking attendance.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm there. She's in love. She's in love. So it wasn't uncommon for her to, you know, break in the conversation, to just enter into a prayer as if Jesus was with her.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like that? And so, because he was. And so, breaking the conversation, we're gazing at the stars. She says, "Father God, like, Daddy, can you just show me a shooting star right now?" And as soon as the words come out of her mouth, shooting star. I'm like 8 yes. years old. I had never seen a shooting star in my life. And I'm like, wait, Juan, you said that. How did you know? What? Like, how did, like, I had never seen... I'd never, ever seen a prayer answered before.
Wow. That's called faith to move mountains, man, or faith to move stars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, God moving the stars. And for me, it was, what this did for me is I had lived my Catholicism in a posture of doubt. Every class that I ever took, regardless of whoever the teacher was or how orthodox the curriculum may have been, it was always a posture of doubt. Yeah, but what if it's not true?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's not true? It's probably not true. This is what that moment did for me. I began to ask this question. What if it's true? Like, what if this is, like, Jesus loves me? Like, Jesus died for me, that he began a church who has authority to teach the truth in virtue of the Holy Spirit that's been given to her. Is this... What if it's true? It's what Pope Benedict, he called in Introduction to Christianity, calls it the penetrating perhaps. That what if question, that what if question completely changed my life. And so I began to ask questions, and I began to study and do a lot of self-study. And the Lord really just gave me so much grace during that season of my life, which was just a season of growing and walking and learning who Jesus was. I probably, admittedly, intellectually walked away from Catholicism for about a year. But reading what I was reading, I knew that Catholicism was the truth. Discovering what it is, you know, I'm reading the Church Fathers, I'm reading all sorts of things, and I'm like, all of a sudden, this girl who I liked, who was my girlfriend, who's not Catholic, who doesn't believe that the church has any authority whatsoever, doesn't like Catholic, actually was raised in a little bit of an environment where, hey, if you're Catholic, like, you're going to hell. And so I'm like showing her, like, check this out, like John chapter 6. And I'm so excited. And she ends up converting to Catholicism.
Yeah.
By the way,
and you guys ended up getting. You know,
yeah. And so
married?
This girl, I married.
Yes.
Married.
Yeah.
Engaged and then married.
My best friend, and we've been married for 7 years and have three blessings of children. And it's been amazing.
That's so good. So
that's
Ryan,
how it began. That's
so you got married. And then you ended up becoming a Catholic school teacher, but kind of getting hit with anxiety. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, exactly. So later in the course of our marriage, I felt really called to specifically Catholic education and that type of ministry. I think mostly, honestly, because my Catholic education, I wanted it to be better. You know, I wanted to say the things that I had never heard in a way that I had never heard it, and kind of give back. I kind of people would ask me in college all the time, like, Ryan, if you go back to college, knowing what you know now, encountering what, you know, having all the encounters that you've had so far, you know, what would you do? What would you do if you went back to your high school? And I would always say this, I'd start the revolution. Mm. That's what I would do. I'd start the revolution. And so God called me back to the high school that I went to teach.
Wow.
And it's an amazing blessing to be here because it feels like home. And I work with some amazing people who desire transformation and who pour their life out for students. But this is what happened. I'm in my second year of teaching, and I get, as you mentioned, hit with tremendous anxiety. When it began, I didn't know what it was. I would have these moments where, you know, either I'd be teaching or we'd be in assembly, and I would feel like I'm gonna pass out. I need to sit down. I need to go drink some water. What's going on here? It would subside. A few weeks later, maybe a couple months later, I'd get hit with it again. I didn't know. I thought it might be vertigo. I had blood tests. The last thing that I'm possibly thinking that it is anxiety, because I'm a pretty relaxed person. I'm a pretty go-with-the-flow type of person. You know, am I really the type of person who has anxiety? Found out later that's exactly what it was. At the end of my second year of teaching, I could hardly teach anymore. I actually missed part of or all of the last 9 days of the school year. Because I just couldn't do it. I literally laid in bed almost every day and just
wow.
felt so tired. And I was so saddened because I felt like my life was being taken away from me. This energetic baseball coach, you know, I'm jumping up, you know, up and down like in the classroom trying to enliven hearts through, I mean, great content, you know, but is the content enough? Here's what I was trying to do. And I learned this, like, through prayer, is that I was actually trying to, in virtue of my own eloquency, my own expertise.
Your own persuasive words of wisdom.
My own content, right, performance, right, in the classroom, that I'm going to, Mr. Maley is going to start the revolution in the school. Mm. That's how it's going to happen. And I had taken a burden on that was never intended
Ryan,
to be taken on by any human.
That is a good place to stop. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Encounter, a co-production of San Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're on the show with Ryan Maley. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear what God did to deliver him from that anxiety. Stay tuned.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
Isn't all truth just relative? I mean, you have your truth, I have mine.
Whoa, dude, what are you doing?
I'm gonna jump off this bridge, man.
You'll die.
No, I won't.
What, don't you believe in gravity?
That old superstitious nonsense? No way. Whee!
There are some things in life that aren't a matter of opinion. And just as in the physical world there are some things that are above debate, like gravity, there are things in the spiritual world that are just as true. And because human beings are physical and spiritual beings, every action that we take has physical and spiritual consequences. That's why things like the Holocaust weren't just dirty and disgusting, but because of the spiritual reality of God's creation, they were actually evil, regardless of what the Nazis thought. So we can't just dismiss the teachings of God's church as fine for some people, but not for me. That's just not the way that reality works. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
The Immaculate Conception is a Catholic dogma that many Protestants have a hard time accepting. They claim it shouldn't be believed because it's not found in the Bible. But I beg to differ. Recall how after the fall in Genesis 3:15, God promised to set enmity between the woman and Satan, between the woman's seed, the Messiah, and Satan's seed. This separation from Satan means the woman's not tainted by sin in any way. Moreover, woman seems to be a title for Eve in her pre-fall state, as is the case in Genesis 2:23. She isn't called Eve until after the fall in Genesis 3:20. So who's this new woman? It's the mother of the Messiah, Mary. So just like the first woman was created without original sin, so too the new woman, Mary, was created without original sin. That's to say, immaculately conceived. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We are back in the radio with Ryan Maley. And Ryan, can you before the break, you had talked about going back to Alter High School, having all the right teaching, all the right witnessing and everything like that, but then being hit with this anxiety that was crippling you.
Right.
What happened? How did God pull you out of that?
So what happened was I was invited to attend, really as probably part of the prayer team. I don't think anybody knew that this was going on in my life, but it was severe. I began my third year. I had a prescription for anxiety medication. My goal was that year, I never want to cash in this prescription. Within the first class, anxiety comes back. I'm having anxiety that I'm having anxiety now, and it becomes that vicious cycle, and I
yep.
have to get on medication every day. And it's that daily reminder of, like, I am dependent upon this. And for me, it was a blow. Like, it really hurt, you know, because it's anxiety and depression medication. And I'm talking about, like, how much joy the gospel brings us. And it's like, I'm taking depression? Like, how is this possible? And it was actually, like, making it worse. I get invited to Unbound, and people start to share their testimonies, and something really just broke in me. I started to cry. Maybe your listeners know a little bit about Unbound, but essentially what it is, it's the deliverance ministry in which the Holy Spirit moves in powerful ways through the church's ministers, through individuals who've stepped up and have been trained in this type of prayer. And really what happened was the Lord freed me, and I let go of a lot of perfectionism and a lot of my own ego and a lot of, you know, those types of things, a lot of that spirit of control, right?
Yeah,
you know, the spirit of control over my classroom. And so that happens, and God's good. And so I'm beginning to walk in a little bit more freedom than I have in the past. Right after that, Patrick, you called me. And it's been a little while since we had spoken, you know, maybe a number of months. We're just catching up. And really, you know, you call me, you're like, hey, Ryan, I just want to share what the Lord is doing in my life. And you start telling me about prophetic words and healing and different things that you were had been implementing in your youth group. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is unbelievable. Like, is this is possible? Like, this is the gospel. And I actually had been, like, watching, like, a few things because you would, like, post some of your YouTube talks. And one of the times you had been, like, one of your youth group talks. And I watched it. You don't know that I watched it, but I watched it. And I remember, like, you were actually teaching on this particular topic of really the power of the gospel and how the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel is always accompanied by signs and wonders. And I remember, like, something was just, like, jarring, like, in me. Like, something was stirring, like, in my spirit. You're like, that's true. And Jesus himself says that we're going to do greater works than him. And what does Aquinas say about that? Not greater in quantity, actually greater in quality.
Mm.
And so what happens? Peter's shadow heals somebody in the book of Acts. That's a greater work in
Amen.
Quality.
Amen.
I never
Amen.
Recall Jesus doing anything like that. And so you're teaching all of these things, and I'm like, this is discipleship. Like, this is the church. This is not something out in space for a select group of people. This is the abundant life that Jesus talks about.
That's, Amen.
That's what it is, and it's really easy. And I think our job, you know, not to cut the chase too much, but as Catholic educators, is to normalize the supernatural. The gospel is always supernatural.
Mm.
The gospel is always supernatural. The resurrection is always supernatural. The power of God's love to transform hearts and minds is always supernatural. To normalize that and talk about it, not in a cliche, but in the reality and truth that it is, very different. So we have this conversation, and I'm blown away. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is awesome. You invited me to, I'm sure you remember, to meet Father Matthias, who was going to be offering Mass in a location in Columbus. I remember it was December 18th of 2015, and I knew that, I don't know who Father Matthias is, but I know I need to be there, and nothing's going to stop me from not being there. And so I go, and you and Father Matthias both prayed over me, and it was truly one of the most powerful encounters that I've ever experienced with God. And I'm now, what I had heard, I'm seeing it modeled for the first time in you, in others, certainly in Father Matthias. And I remember when we had that conversation on the phone, and you were telling me some of the things that were happening in your youth group, and you're like, Ryan, like, what would altar look like if, I don't know, you sat before the tabernacle before the day begins, and just start asking, you know, Lord, who has, what do you want me to know about my students before they come in? You know, who's having arguments with their parents? Who's in a place of depression that nobody knows about, but the Lord knows about? Would you be a more powerful Catholic educator if he knew those types of things? I'm like, yes, you know, like, out of the blue, you know? And so, seeing that modeled and you and Father Matthias both prayed over me for an implication, I'm learning about like all of these things, and you're slowly walking me, giving me like tools to be able to, okay, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What does that mean? And giving me examples of what that can mean. And then it was a matter of taking a risk. And so like, okay, I'm equipped, you know, like I'm gonna do this. How do I begin doing that? And I remember like the way I would begin is like, well, you don't wanna be, you know, wrong, I guess. So what I would do is I'd pray, and I would ask the Lord, what do you want me to know about my students? And I would enter into that dialogue, and what I would start to do, it was a little like a little bit timid, and admittedly I still do this a lot. But I would email students, you know, different words of knowledge, like, I was praying for you. You were on my heart today. This is what the Lord was telling me in prayer. And I always, the story was the same. You know, I'd get emails back, and how do you possibly know that? Like, that's exactly what I was going through. Like, that's, man, you have no idea what that meant for me at that time, like, at that day type of thing. And you're like, huh? Okay, like, the Lord's, like, with me here, you know, and you kind of grow in precision and grow in that process of, like, okay, this is not from God. Maybe this is my own human imagination, but the Lord speaks in this way or it feels this way. This is a greater clarity. Later on in that same spring was a conference that was taking place right in our own backyard of Dayton, Ohio, called Love Dayton. And you were telling me about it, and you're like, "This is gonna be great. I'm gonna be here for 3 or 4 days, and we're gonna do ministry. We're gonna do street evangelization. There's gonna be worship night. It's Call to Conversion and healings, Ryan. You're gonna. This is gonna be big."
And just so, like, just okay, to let our, like, listeners know, Ryan, yeah. this event, Love Dayton, it was organized by a ministry called Global Awakening. It was an interdenominational thing. And we got permission from the Archbishop of Cincinnati to have a Catholic ministry team that I got the privilege to lead up, and you are a part of that, and other people are part of that. So we as a Catholic ministry team joined up with Christians from all over the region to come impact this city for 4 days.
Absolutely. And some of my favorite stories are from that week. I had work, you know, I'm teaching. I couldn't really get away from my job. And so I kind of considered it, okay, for this week, I'm going to make altar by mission field and make this a place that Love Dayton is ministering to. And so we would go to the nightly sessions, learn a lot, equip in a variety of different ways. And when I would come back into the classroom, I couldn't help but share some of the things that were the Lord was doing, the miraculous, God was just showing up in big ways. And some of our conversations, Patrick, I couldn't help but just allowing that to exude. And whatever we're talking about, it didn't matter what we're talking about. I was going to tie that in. And I remember teaching my fourth period class after a very powerful day, and Randy Clark had prayed over us, and a lot of the powerful things were happening. So the next day I come into class and I start teaching on the miraculous. I start teaching about identity and who they are and the authority and the inheritance that they have in Jesus. And they are you look for these moments as a teacher. You know, there's a moment where, you know, you're taking notes and the pencils are flying and hands are being raised, but there's always these moments, and you can't create them. They just happen, and they're great graces. When the pencils go down and everybody's eyes are up, and you know that, like, something is happening, and everyone feels it at the same time. And so we were having moments like that. We were having classes that were like that. And so I'm using as a teaching point an example that I don't know to be true, but I just say, like, you know, hey, if the Lord wants to heal this young man, his name was Derek, his hip, you know, like da 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 da. And I'm like using this just as a, you know, just as a story that I don't know to be true. I don't know anything about him, but I'm just trying to draw on the supposed example so they understand a point. His friend looks at me and he says, like, do you know what that? I'm like, I don't know anything. He's like, his hip is, he's had hip problems since he was in fifth grade. And I'm like, really? Whoa. You know, like,
good example.
Like, something's going on here. You know, the whole class is like, was that it? Is that the Holy Spirit? And we're like, yeah, I think that was the Holy Spirit. And we're all kind of like learning this together in this like infancy stage. And there's a curiosity and there's a hunger and very cool things are happening. I invite this student and I said, like, well, if the Lord called it out, the Lord wants to do something about it. He's just not going to identify, physical impairments just so that you already know that, I mean, he wants to do something about it. And so I'm like, let's pray after school. Are you cool with that? And he's like, yeah, I'm cool with that. I tell Patrick right away, who's in Dayton, and I'm like, oh, this is going to happen. He's like, can I come too? I'm like, absolutely. And so Patrick prays. We pray over this young man, and it was remarkable. Patrick comes in the last 20 minutes of my eighth period class, and maybe the last 10 minutes of the class. They were taking a test that day. Everybody finishes their test. There's a little bit of time remaining. Patrick, the floor is yours. And he took those 10 minutes to exhort and to encourage and to really, without want, without any presumption, just offer the gospel of Jesus. And tell them some of the amazing things that were happening in Love Dayton this week. Again, my students later described it as, like, it was scary when he walked into the room. It's like, no, we want to hear Patrick. But, like, there's that fear of the Lord. It's scary because you begin to realize, like, anything is possible if the Trinity lives within me. That's scary. It's a little scary, you know? But it's that holy fear of, like, a roller coaster is scary. Like, this is going to be awesome. And you don't know, like, what's going to happen, but the Lord is here with us right now. What happens next is that three individuals are called out for different physical impairments. They all receive healing. Derek, who's getting prayed for later that after school, he's actually, like, in the doorway, like, watching some of these things happen. You know, faith elevated through the roof. Derek, who had hip problems since he's in fifth grade, he gets healed. And then there was like two, you know, words that Patrick had given to him that were just absolutely on point, one about a gastrointestinal issue and one about his shoulder as well, and just the Holy Spirit just speaking. And then we come back in and we have these stories of identifiable things that we can now point to and say, well, Jesus did this. Jesus mm-hmm. did this. You know, we prayed and something happened, and so expectation is now elevated. Even the very next day, as Derek is telling his story in class, and I invite him to give testimony, and we just continue our conversation. The same exact thing happens. I randomly call on this other student. Her name was Anna, and we're using her as, you know, an imaginary talking point, as if the Lord wanted to heal. In this case, I just said her shoulder. And turns out she had severe shoulder pain. She was an artist. She bothers her all the time. And it was actually, like, kind of in a way, like, keeping her from doing, you know, one of the great gifts that God had given her. And so we pray. And then I'm kind of, like, nervous. Like, okay, Patrick was here last time. Like, is this, you know, because it's not me. And it's not Patrick. It's the Holy Spirit. And her shoulder pain goes away. And it's like, this is it. This is the gospel. This is the game changer. you know? Mm. So if any Catholic high school teachers, or it doesn't matter, Catholic educators, period, are listening, you know, everyone wants to know, like, what's the game changer in Catholic education? Like, maybe it's this book, like, maybe it's this curriculum, maybe it's this program, maybe it's this way of saying, you know, like, amen to curriculums, like, amen to, especially Orthodoxy, you know, that really allows the atmosphere of truth to penetrate hearts. There's no question about that in mind. But what if the Holy Spirit itself were the game changer that we were fighting in the classroom?
Yeah,
I know, right?
Praise
kind of crazy. The Holy Spirit was the game changer, because he is. That's the game changer. And we need to start thinking differently about the power that we have as a church. Or like you were saying earlier, Dan, you know, we're called to mission. You know, I've been crucified with Christ, but, you know, you know, I live. It's not I live, as Christ lives within me. Like, that's it. Like, that's discipleship. Like, that's what we're after. Not like, oh, well, mass attendance. Like, I mean, amen to mass attendance. Like, you need to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. But if that was, like, the minimum, you know, if you're just, like, checking the box and the precepts of the faith, like, is that enough? Well, if we're asking the question, is that enough? I mean, it probably shows, like, we're not really, are we disciples who are giving everything, or are we asking the question, is this enough? Like, what's the minimum here?
Ooh, yeah, wrong
what
minimum.
We're doing
yeah.
now is creating an environment where students are crying out for more, because they realize, like, there's no ceiling, there's no cap to my joy, there's no limit to the peace that I can experience in Jesus. There's no, you have an open heaven above you. That's,
amen.
That's what's happening.
Wow.
Ryan, joy is the sure sign of the presence of God. Have you seen an elevation of joy in Alder High School since you've started opening young people to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely. I would say, like, that is the number one thing that has happened. And it's just joy. You know, students are asking themselves, like, you know, this is what I remember, like, this one student, like Greg, I had another student who was, she was inquiring about converting to Catholicism at the end of, like, last school year. And I remember Greg came in, and he was a junior at the time. He's getting ready to graduate now. And his defense for why she should was simply this. He says to her, "Look at me. I'm the happiest person that you'll ever meet. I am so filled with joy, Jennifer, so filled with joy." And that was his. And then he says, "Can I pray with you?" And then it's like, and then we just, like, pray over Jen about, like, the, you know, the Holy Spirit, like, meeting her, like, in that moment. And she was in tears, you know. And so, like, I love that his defense was, because it could have been, "Let me walk you through Aquinas' proofs," and it would have been beautiful. Or he could have said, like, "Let me give you, like, a really profound exposition of, like, John chapter 6," and it would have been beautiful, you know, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Instead, he says, "Look at my joy. Like, look at my joy. I'm the happiest person you'll ever meet because I know Jesus."
Wow.
"Because I'm Catholic."
That's right. That's good.
That's awesome.
Now, Ryan, it's my greatest passion to equip other leaders to walk in the gifts and the power and the love of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so thankful that I got to play that role in your life. And yeah, I mean, that's it. And I feel like once people kind of get to that, like, into a new realm, like, it's their job to spread it so it becomes the normal thing. But I just want to say that really quick, we're going to take a station identification. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio and co-produced by EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're talking with Ryan Maley, a religion teacher at Alter High School in Dayton, Ohio. And Ryan, you've been sharing so beautifully about your transformation into this life of power and everything. So now that you shared your story about how it started in your life, what are stories? What's your normal life look like? What does mass look like now at your all school masses? I want to give our listeners a snapshot of what's normal, and then, like, maybe some stories about students being transformed.
Yeah, I think so. This is my fourth year at Alter, so this is still in you know, relatively fresh. This year, we've been walking in it and really running with it more than ever. I have probably, especially in the fall, at least one prayer appointment a day. For, like, during my free periods, have become opportunities for me to okay, I want to, this is going on in your life, like, I'm gonna pray over you. And so what's happening is students are telling other students, and it was becoming like a daily thing, like, I need to come in before school, I need to come in after school, like, you need to pray. And amazing things were starting to take place. Maybe one of my favorite stories is the student who I had prayed for, she actually sees one of her friends at a party who's experiencing some depression. She says, we need to go to Mr. Mealy. He's going to pray for you. I don't know anything about what's going on in this girl's life. I have her in class, but I don't know anything about this girl's life. She sits down, and I say, like, do you want to tell him? You know, what would you like to pray for? And I could tell, like, she's nervous. I was like, or, you know, we can just ask Jesus. Like, do you want to ask Jesus, like, what he wants you to pray for? And she just, like, does the same thing. She's, like, kind of tearing up. She just nods, you know, and she says, like, yeah. And she told me later she had five things that she wanted to share. And so we begin to just enter into dialogue. And her friend, who I had prayed for earlier, is now praying with us. And like essentially the first like five things that are said are the exact five things that she wanted to share, you know. And just she just has this moment of breakthrough. That's becoming normal. That's
wow.
Becoming normal. It's becoming normal when, oh, I sprained my ankle at volleyball practice last week. Hey, seventh period. Like when I see you, let's have the class. Like, pray for me. And like, something be some girl like walking around in a boot, and it's other students who are like, yeah, we're gonna pray for her. We're gonna pray for her. But it's not enough, obviously. If this was just me, it's not enough. What we need to do, and what we're doing, is we're equipping students to do this within the school. So myself, along with another Catholic high school teacher, we took 66 kids to the Studentville Conference last year. We're taking nearly 100 this year, and there's only like 580 students to go to the school.
So you're like 25% of your school is going to the Steubenville Youth Conference?
Whoa, crazy.
Come on, dude. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's exactly so, right. About 20% of the school are having this experience. And so we recognize that, okay, we need to continue to disciple them outside, not so much like outside the classroom, like certainly like in the classroom, but you're doing a lot of academia, which is necessary and it's beautiful and it's true and it's good and it's holy. But we need to do something in addition to that. So we started something for a meeting, a community, a fellowship that meets on Wednesday mornings called Upper Room, in which we're building and equipping students to walk in this, to know who they are, what Christ has done for them, and then to be really ambassadors of the gospel everywhere. It's discipleship training.
Yeah.
You know, do we talk about the supernatural? Like, absolutely, but it's discipleship training. That's what it is. We just know who we are. We know who we are, and we know who's with us, and that's the game changer. That's the game changer now. We actually made up T-shirts this year that just say, can I pray with you?
Yes.
Because we all, you know, everybody has problems. I mean, this is high school. You know, people are going to be, you know, depression, real, bullying, real. The various, you know, issues and problems that exist in a high school, they're numerous. Not just in a high school, but just as a youth today in this culture. Maybe, just maybe, we can just allow Jesus Christ to infiltrate our relationships so that we can use those as opportunities to really minister, you know, to really minister. And teaching kids how to do that, how to pray for healing, how to receive words of knowledge, how to hear the Holy Spirit more clearly. And really what we're doing is just saying, like, you were baptized. Like what you were saying earlier, you're a son of God. This is who you are. You're equipped. You have gifts of the Holy Spirit given to you. Don't allow them to lie dormant. Grow in precision with them. And that's been a really fun process.
That's so good. Can you share with us a story, though, of I don't know, that happening? Yeah. Give us a literature snapshot.
Yeah, so one story that I love that wasn't too long ago, it was during my eighth period class, and we were talking about some of these things, and it's a hungry class, and there's a lot of desire there. And so I just walked them through a really simple exercise. Okay, close your eyes. You know, invite the Holy Spirit. Just allow him to illuminate your mind, illuminate your imagination. Don't worry about the thousand things that are going on. Just allow one thing to kind of, you know, arise in your consciousness. This one student, we kind of enter into dialogue with this, and a lot of students are like, yeah, I feel like I'm, you know, and the question I was asking, Lord, who do you want me to love? Who do you want me to serve? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to know about them? And so this one particular student, he is, he's like, I feel like something happened at my mom's work today, that she's been fighting with her secretary, and that I'm called to give her some hope and make her day a little bit better.
That's pretty specific knowledge. Right,
and he's like, I think I got this. And he's kind of proud. He's like, I think this is true. I think this is from Jesus. And I was like, call your mom right now. And they're not allowed to have their phones out. He's like, I'm allowed to take my phone out. I was like, you have my permission. Take your phone out. Call your mom like right now. And so he called his mom. She's not on speakerphone, but we can all hear because the volume on the phone is like so loud. Everybody, like, the class is hushed. Calls his mom like, what are you calling me for? I just had a question for you, mom. Did you like get into a fight? Or like some verbal argument with, you know, your secretary or coworker? It turns out that actually did happen earlier that morning, that they were, there was a little bit of like an altercation. Things were said kind of a little bit in an unkind way, and it had been super awkward in the office all day long. Her mom, everybody could hear this on the other end of the phone. All his mom said was like, how do you know that? How do you know that? And he's like, oh, you know, I gotta go back to class. You know, like, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, it's amazing. And you know, and we're so for it, and even more so than that, they were encouraging each other and like, praise, okay, them. Now you're sent out on mission, you're equipped for the good work.
Wow. Well, praise the Lord. Our time with you has come to a close. But Ryan, we're gonna pray, and then we're gonna let our listeners know how they can connect with you, especially if there's any Catholic school teachers out there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of the power that you've given to us as sons and daughters of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's anyone out there that is dealing with any kind of crippling anxiety, we speak against that anxiety in the name of Jesus. We pray for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard their heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
We pray for a renewal of Catholic education, Lord. We just pray that your Spirit would bless and penetrate all of the Catholic schools across the world. Come, Holy Spirit.
I mean, we just do all these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Patrick.
Our listeners can learn more about you through the high school website. That's alterhs.org. Alterhs.org. Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio, along with EWTN Global Catholic Radio. And to learn more about us or our show, you can go to encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org.